Welcome to episode 67 of Yinz Are Good, the podcast that shares and celebrates all of the good stuff going on out there and all of the good people who are making that good stuff happen. I am your host, Tressa Glover. I'm so very happy that you're joining us today, and I hope that you and yours are well. I and mine are doing well, thank you. And actually, I want to give a little shout out to my nieces, Angelina and Rebecca. They are a few weeks in to their school years. They are both in college. So Angelina is a junior at Penn State, and Becca is a freshman at WVU. I cannot believe I just said that. How are they old enough? But I am so darn proud of them and so proud of just the kind, generous humans they have become. And gosh, are they funny. And so girls, I love you. Yes, I will probably call you girls, no matter how old you are. That's just how that's going to go. I wanted to let you know that. So I love you. I'm proud of you. And as you know, listeners, we talk a lot about gratitude on this show. And so I got to share something with you that happened recently. So I was working and I walked past someone whom I've only met maybe once or twice. And as we walked past each other, I said, "Hi, how are you?" And she said, "I'm grateful. How are you?" And I was actually speechless. Me? What? This is what Don dreams of. But it's true, because it really did catch me off guard in the best way possible. And there was just such a lesson in that tiny moment. And like we talk about, right, there really aren't any tiny moments. But there was such a lesson there. And it reminded me of something that I think about pretty often, that, you know, we, of course, say, "How are you?" to each other when we see each other. And it's a, you know, it's a courtesy. It's a respect, right? It's part of when you're greeting someone. But what would happen if when we asked that question, we really asked it? And what if when we replied, we really answered? Now, of course, time and place, of course, those have to be taken into consideration. But it's just an idea that I do think about it, and that moment with her brought that all back to me. So just a little something to think about as we continue on our day here. Also, as we continue, what do I have coming up? Oh, wow. Such a great chat, I cannot tell you, with Don Alexander. Who's that, you may be wondering? He's the co-founder of Free Store 15106 and Free Fridge 15106. He is a Light Education Initiative ambassador. Wait, that's not all. He's also a second grade teacher at Carnegie Elementary School and a self-described big fan of Yinz Are Good. What? Well, did we have a great time talking, and I cannot wait to share our conversation with you. And I'm telling you, you're going to be inspired with all of the good work that he and his co-workers and his peers are doing. And we got Name That Neighborhood a little spin, so you know that Don was all for it. Now we're talking Don DiGiulio now. This is the show of Don's. So, of course, that's coming up. And if you want to share with all of us something that you're grateful for, someone that you're grateful for, an act of kindness that has really made a difference in your life, please send us an email. yinzaregood@gmail.com is where you send that. And of course, I'm going to share it on the show. And a reminder too, if you are on the social media, please do give us a follow on Instagram at yinzaregood and also on the Facebook at yinzaregood. And I think we should get into it. Yes? Let's get to all this good stuff.
Hi, Tressa. How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic, thank you.
It's so nice to get to talk to you.
Oh, it's very nice. I'm a huge fan, so this is truly an honor.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. And it's, oh, like I was saying, my gosh, what don't you do? What aren't you involved in helping people? It's an honor. It's an honor to have you here.
I'm just very fortunate to work with a lot of great people, so it's been amazing, truly.
Well, so let want to just start chatting.
Sure.
Yay. So where can we start? Do you want to tell us a little about you? Whatever you'd like to share about, your background a bit.
Sure. So, I am a native Pittsburgher. So, I grew up in the North Hills and I married my high school sweetheart from the North Hills, and we currently still live in the North Hills and our kids go to North Hills. So it was
Oh my gosh.
we didn't travel very far, but we were like, we're those people. When I graduated, years and years ago, I was first teaching in Pittsburgh Public Schools and for a year or so, and then I got the job in Carleton. So this is my 23rd year in Carleton and my 24th teaching. So
Wow.
yeah, so it's been, I've kind of seen it all over the last, few years.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, and thank you again, though. Teaching, I can't sum it up. It would take me a long time to thank you for all that you do. Just teachers, all that you do is so important. And we really, you're at the beginning of it all for all of us,
And I've been fortunate too. Like I said, I've worked in the same building for almost my entire career. So, and I've taught second grade for the bulk of my career, and that's what I'm teaching now. But it's just Carnegie, where I work. Carleton is the school district, but Carnegie is just such a special town. And even though I live in the North Hills and grew up in the North Hills, I always consider Carnegie to be kind of my community, where I feel most needed. And I just really am fortunate to have just this wonderful support group of other teachers and community members and businesses in the community. It's just it's a really great place.
Well, let's talk a little about it then, shall we?
Sure.
There's a lot with the 15106 zip code.
Yes. Yes, we
So
are.
do you want to start with Free Store?
Sure.
And yeah, how did that all come to be?
Sure. If I go way back to pre-pandemic, when we were really in a tough spot, where we knew there needed to be more services for our families and for the community. Specifically, we were really concerned about providing better mental health services and finding a way where we could make that affordable. And so we just really started to look out to see what was available. And this all kind of started with the AHN Chill Project. And I know you and I had talked a little bit about what that is, but I reached out to Will Davies, who is the founder of the Chill Project, and we became the first elementary school to adopt the program. So that was kind of like our starting point. And from there, it was like dominoes. It was, we really, we went from like one initiative to the next. And so that was kind of where, I said, we need to share, because I really, we all of my friends and I who teach together, we believe that, part of being a public educator is sharing with other districts and other, parts of Pennsylvania, these services that don't cost a lot and that are so impactful. So I reached out to Giselle Fetterman. You may have heard of her.
Wait, give me a minute. Yes,
Okay.
yes.
So, and I like to call her my friend Giselle now. And it really, I don't know that my wife, she gets really annoyed with me. She's like, oh, all right, I know. But so I reached out to my friend Giselle, and really, she's obviously, what a wonderful person she is. But
Oh, yes.
I didn't know her. I sent her a message on Instagram, and she immediately got back to me, and I said, really, this program's so wonderful, and we're really trying to impact the mental health of our students in this proactive way. So she's like, I'm coming in to see it. So she came in to see it, and really, that meeting was a springboard for a lot of other things. So that really led to us opening our free store in the building, which, you know, I could talk about in a second. And it led to a partnership with Literacy Pittsburgh and then some other projects that came, you know, right after that.
Ah, oh, it just keeps going and going.
It is.
I know it.
It really does.
Well, would you want to talk about Free Store? So for folks who might not, sure, you know, be familiar and how it works.
Yeah. So Free Store 15106, what we started to see was that, you know, especially post-pandemic and during the pandemic, is that families were losing jobs. Families weren't having the ability to have enough food to get them through a weekend or a long week. And we renovated, and by renovate, I mean cleaned out a closet in our school that's behind our auditorium stage. And we basically house non-perishable items, clothing, you know, limited clothing that would fit our students at school, and items like soap and shampoo, toothpaste, feminine products, things like that, that our students and families would need. And then we, you know, once the, you know, the school year gets started, and this just started last year, but we really started to, you know, focus on the kids that needed it most. We had about 20 families that we were regularly sending out bags of food to each week. And then over the summer, we did keep it open to the community. So we had a lot of community members on Wednesdays coming in to use it as well.
And so if folks are interested, or if they are in need, how do they find out about it? Or
sure, it gets a little tricky because we're in a school building with students and with security and everything. You know, we have to be careful as far as, you know, when things are dropped off or what have you. But
that's what I was thinking. Yes, that's why. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little different than, you know, the OG Free Store, where people can stop on those days and you know, and just drop things off to the people who are working there. And this is, you know, it's just, there's about 10 or 11 of us who try to work together to keep things rolling. But I do have two Instagram pages that if you visit those and you message me through those, that's probably the best way. You know, if you have questions or donations or things like that. So yeah, one is free_fridge15106 and one is free_store_15106. So either one, you know, you would get a message over to me.
Oh, perfect. And now, well, again, really, we can, all of these just lead into the next one. So however you want to just keep going. Because I know there are so many, you already mentioned Literacy Pittsburgh, and we can also obviously talk about Free Fridge, but I also know that there are specific initiatives that you've recently started as part of your holistic approach. Do you want to talk about those, or whatever order you'd like to do it? I say go for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I guess I could stick with, you know, the Free Store I said non-perishable, but we do work with a nonprofit, which is really, truly a husband and wife who are just very kind. It's called Mission Pittsburgh. And Mission Pittsburgh does provide milk and bread for our students each week. And they were the ones that were really interested in opening up the fridge. So we also have the Free Fridge down the street. At St. John Church, we work with Pastor Sarah down there, and they come once or twice a week to fill the fridge. And, you know, it's been amazing. You know, one day it is full and the next it's completely empty. It's being used and it's much needed. So that was kind of like how that all came about. And then also through Giselle, I mean, that's what makes her so wonderful. She just reaches out to me and she's like, I have these people that might want to, you know, might interest you and be able to help. So Robin Haggins from Cuddles for Kids, her son, he and Robin, I guess, run this organization together, a nonprofit, and they were taking old Post-Gazette boxes and decorating them and filling them with feminine hygiene products that our students could use, you know, come and get whenever they were needed. So we did. I have one so far that was delivered and I took it to the high school. So Carlinton High School has the first one. And then we'll also have one in the elementary building. I think next week she's delivering it. So.
And that's something, those products, you know, people don't always tend to talk about them, or they kind of get, I don't know, glossed over. Maybe it's because it's, you know, so personal, but they're so important.
And they're just, you know, all these people are just really, truly wonderful people. If anything, you know, it's made me just very hopeful, you know, that all these people are so willing to help and so willing to give of their time and give of their money. And you know, it just, I guess what surprised me most was all it took was asking, you know, and I guess I thought it would really be difficult for all these things to fall into place. And like I said, it's been the opposite. It's been overwhelming in a great way, you know, all these wonderful things. And like you said, we're, you know, we really recognize in my building and in Carlinton that, you know, if we don't address these needs, if we don't help these families right in our community, we know that these students are coming and they're hungry and they're scared. And, you know, they've already had a tough day before they even get to school. So if we can, you know, reach these families and reach these kids before that tough day happens, I think it's what will make, it will make our style of education transformative, and hopefully something others will start to follow too.
We still have some other things to talk about, but as folks continue to listen, if they're, are you ever looking for volunteers or helpers?
We've been very fortunate to have, we have a wonderful PTA in Carnegie, and you know, it's kind of nice because it does bring in that, I mean, really what we're trying to build is a sense of community, not just in, you know, with teachers and staff members, but with parents as well. So we've been really blessed with, you know, having all these, you know, people that are willing to help. And it extends even out into the community. In Carnegie, we have the best coffee shop, Carnegie Coffee Company. And
it is good.
It's the best. And Ashley's one of my favorite people, but in Dagny's Eatery, and our mayor in Carnegie, Mayor Riley, they're all just so supportive. And, you know, they've all, between the free fridge and the free store, have done just such an amazing job of providing the support we need.
Well, I do want to ask more about the Literacy Pittsburgh, like you've collaborated with them, and also Light. Oh my, we'll just keep going. Oh, and I do want to say, because we could mention the Positive Painting Project. They're actually going to be in an upcoming episode, so we will hear from them ourselves. I'd love to hear more about any of those things.
Sure.
How's that for a general? Like, Don, just...
as long as you let me ramble on about these things, I will. So
fabulous.
I am, you know, I'm booked on fresh air after this, but I still have a little time, so
I appreciate that. We all appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, Light, the Light organization was one that I kind of just stumbled upon. You know, we, like I said, we have all of these resources available to us, but sorry, my dogs are now barking. So that's distracted.
You know how we love it.
Yes.
So, we love it. What are your dogs' names?
So I have Bernie and Bowie.
Oh, and what kind of dogs are they?
So they're both rescue dogs. So they're true mutts. Both good boys, but also, you know, not the most well-behaved guys. So
I'm familiar. Yes.
they like to have their voices heard.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
But no, with the Light Project, it is run through an organization within the Jewish Holocaust Center in Pittsburgh. And really, you know, it's a K-12 initiative. So, you know, it's something that it might connect students with members of the community. But the overarching theme is really that to try to prevent things like genocide and Holocaust by understanding one another through social justice, empathy, kindness, you know, love, humility, all those things that we should be teaching in elementary school. Because, you know, if those things are taught at an early age, hopefully some of these terrible things that happen as people get older won't happen. So Light is just amazing. They're, you know, they're the ones that kind of, you know, they're willing to like listen to any idea for projects that we might have to support those projects. And when I first joined, you know, they were the ones that suggested the Positive Painting Project. Because a big part of what Light is trying to do is talk about remembrance and the importance of remembering those who came before us and honoring those people. And the Positive Painting Project was started by Todd and Lisa. And I won't talk too much about that project because I know they're going to be on next week. But they unfortunately lost their daughter, Katie. And they have, you know, in this just absolutely beautiful and amazing way of taking, you know, what they've gone through, and they've turned it into this painting project that lets people know that, you know, we're not all okay all the time, and that's okay, you know, and that, you know, I think Katie's vision was to have, you know, these paintings placed in student bathrooms and or wherever, places where the students may be alone for a second and just need that reminder. Mm-hmm. So Carnegie Elementary, I think we were the first elementary school maybe to do that as well, which was exciting. But we had our second graders last year, and some of the older kids as well. They paint a canvas, and then Todd and Elisa take it and they screen print the positive messages on top. So now they are hanging, our paintings are hanging, you know, through our school building, but also hanging in different parts of the community, going back to that, you know, we're really trying in Carnegie to build this sense of like the safety net for our families, where, you know, you're not just welcome here in school, but, you know, we also want you to feel welcome throughout the community as well.
It's so beautiful. And have you had any conversations or, you know, any moments that stand out to you, maybe from your students or families or.
You know what, it's been, I think what I thought was most surprising or rewarding maybe about the whole experience is that these kids really want to help each other. So when we met and talked about what the free store was going to be, it wasn't, you know, like, oh, I can't get, you know, wait to get in there and shop. Even the little kids, they were like, wow, we can't wait for someone to use that to help them, you know? And it was just really nice. I mean, a lot of families have, you know, like I said, community members, families have said, can we help in any way? Can we make donations? And it's just been really, I think just building that sense of belonging within that community and how the school's a big part of that has just been wonderful.
Yeah. And it has to be, I just think about if these are the messages when you go to school, yep. If these are the messages and through action. So not just, you know, being, you know, talking about it or, you know, learning about, but you're seeing things in action from a young age. There is no way that doesn't have legs, you know, into not just as you get older, but into other facets of your life and other people that you meet and other situations that you're in, carrying that along with you.
I think it's a true life skill, you know, and I feel like if more people were able to experience what it feels like to give, or, you know, what it feels like to show humility, just that having that sense of belonging in that way, I think, I think it's just something that would, like you said, just change a person forever.
Yeah. It's, and so is there something, because when I think about, so I know sometimes people could listen to this and think, oh my gosh, and he's doing so much and he's a part of all these things and, oh, I could never do that. Or how does a person do that? If, you know, if someone's thinking, I would love to do something like that. I would love to help. I just don't know how to start. Do you have any advice for someone?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the best advice is just to take a chance, you know. And it really, I mean, I was, like I said, maybe I hit the jackpot and it just like they had this beautiful snowball effect where one thing led to another. But I truly think, you know, if you take a chance and you talk to people, and it's made me a better person, certainly, you know, I've met so many people over the last year, so many kind, caring people. That if you just take a chance and open up some dialogue with a, you know, a nonprofit, or, you know, I reached out to several politicians or public figures or people who, you know, can maybe are change makers, you know, take a chance, because you might get lucky like we did in Carnegie and, you know, and have this opportunity to really build upon something great.
Mm, I love that. And I know this is a rather big question, but, you know, is there, could you come up with something that maybe is your favorite part about what you're doing, what you love the most?
Mm-hmm. Oh, You know what? I think the moments that have been the best for me personally, if I guess selfishly, is, you know, being in with some of my coworkers, you know, and we're in back in the free store, and a kid comes in and gets something simple. It might be a bag of macaroni and cheese. I mean, it's nothing, or like a new pair or a new to them pair of shoes. They're just so happy, you know, and it's not, I'm not giving them something. I'm not giving them, you know, this, a toy or, a, you know, I'm not giving them, I shouldn't say I, we are not giving them something that costs a lot of money. It's just that we care about them. And I think they recognize that, you know, and I think that's been, I think that's been the best part of the whole experience for me. And I think for a lot of us.
Cause it is, it's life changing.
Yeah, truly.
Right. And that, yeah. You know, and like you were saying, take a chance, because I think there's also that idea that, oh, if I want to do something, it has to be big. It has to be huge. It has to be, and really anything is big or is huge, because there's no small act. There's no small gift. There's no small gesture, because you don't ever know how that is going to help somebody in the ways that you don't even realize, or, you know, couldn't even come up with yourself, how that can. And it's a domino effect. You know, that one thing can cause something else, something else, something else. And then.
And that's exactly, you know, that's exactly what happened. It was just this. And a lot of it, too, is just not like, you know, my coworkers and I are doing all the work. You know, it's connecting with people. And like example for like Mission Pittsburgh, who, you know, these people are giving up their time and their money to provide food for families in Carnegie, and they're not from Carnegie. I mean, it's not like, or they have no connection to Carnegie. They're just good people, you know, and they knew that we had a need, and that, you know, they had some people, you know, in myself and some of my coworkers who were willing to, you know, to connect with them. So that's a big part of it, I think, is, you know, you don't have to put it all on yourself, even though it's easy to do that. You know, my coworkers and I sometimes will feel like we're running around like crazy. It's not necessarily always easy, but it's so rewarding. And it's, we know in our hearts, we feel like it's making, you know, making differences and inroads into some of our families' lives that maybe we hadn't before.
And speaking of your coworkers, I wanted to mention, because I haven't yet, to the listeners, but this is Don, who I shared an email of his several episodes ago now, oh my gosh, of gratitude. And so you all may remember, and that is actually, that was our first interaction, was you sending an email to thank these folks in your life,
yes,
who you were saying who are doing so much good. And then as you and I, you know, went back and forth a little bit, and I know on my end, I was like, wait a minute, what? But you, look at all these things that you're doing. I mean, so I just wanted to make that connection, of course, to our audience. And again, as a thank you to you, because, you know, the note that you sent in gratitude of these others. Meanwhile, here you are, you know, doing, you know, obviously the same, and doing so much for people. And so I thank you for that.
Thank you. And, you know, like I said, I have just amazing friends and coworkers. It's and like I said, my words of gratitude, you know, some of them have definitely saved lives and things I wish I was part of, but just watching it happen is just, it's inspiring for sure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, this conversation, I am like, just have a smile on my face right now.
You know what? I'll be honest. I was very nervous because I am a fan. And I want to thank you, because I listen all the time, like I said, and I just find it so nice to just hear nice things. You know, we all need a break, I think, from things that are so overwhelming and depressing. So hearing all these people doing such great things, and I, like I said, I've contacted some of these people that you've had on your show. And so thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh. Well, it's honestly my pleasure to do it. And it's because of people like you that I have something to do.
Good. Well, that's wonderful.
Oh, this has been so great.
Hello there, Don.
Hey, Tressa. What's happening?
I don't know.
Really? You don't know?
I do. I mean, this
happens weekly, though.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
We are here. It is another segment of Name.
Name. That neighborhood.
Oh, there's so much joy.
So much joy on from your a guy face named Don.
And in your, yeah. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Are you well?
I am well.
Good. That's good. Yeah. That's very good.
You could have sounded more excited about the fact that I'm well.
I'm so happy for you.
Oh, considering this is the first time we talk all week.
I know. What a great way to make sure we stay connected.
Great way, yes.
As a couple.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Should we launch in? Now, I'm going to tell you, but it's a little different. Because here's the thing.
Yeah. When you have to preface it with, here's the thing. Not a good thing.
Yes. So the other Don, whom we've already heard from.
Yes.
The amazing chat that we had.
Yeah.
It was all about Carnegie, and I thought, we're doing it. So this isn't about you choosing a neighborhood.
It's about the neighborhood choosing me. Carnegie wants me.
Okay. It's already started. It's devolved, and we're
tell me what it is.
But what it is, instead of choosing a neighborhood, we're going to go multiple choice.
Hmm.
About Carnegie.
Okay.
I feel good about this for you.
Yes, and.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And there's only three.
Oh, well, that makes it better.
Yeah. So what do you think? Should we dive in?
I think we shall.
Let's do it.
Let's.
Number one. Dan Sweeney and Dennis Murphy founded this popular Irish pub on East Main Street in 1979 in the traditional style of serving spirits and pints of Ireland's favorite ales and beers. Is it A?
You had a tint of the Irish too, yes.
You noticed it. That. I'm glad you noticed. A, O. Henry's Ale House. B, Wild Irish Rose. C, Riley's Poor House. D, Irish Goodbye.
Oh, God, I wish it were D, but it's actually C. And for the listeners, it's Poor, P-O-U-R.
Whoa, he's giving house. You extra there. Let's see if he's right.
A little extra.
You are correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, well done. Irish Goodbye, if I may say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Someone needs to open that bar and invite us when they do.
Yeah. No one would ever be there.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Riley's, shall we?
We shall.
So it was first called the Poorhouse of Carnegie. Mm-hmm. Again, P-O-U-R, as you said.
Yes.
And now it's known as Riley's. And it has changed owners several times, and it's now 43 years being around.
Mm-hmm.
Its new owners are led by Gino Torriero and Joe Riley. I love it, because that's an Irish-Italian, it mm-hmm. seems, combo, which, of course...
Which is near and dear to your
close
heart.
To my heart.
Yeah.
And they are, as they say on their website, maintaining the legacy of Riley's as they build, you know, new things based on the traditions of it.
Tradition.
Yes. So yeah, there you go. Just like that. Number one.
Just like that. Mm-hmm. I'm one for one.
Number two. Established in 1765 as a stockade church, Old St. Luke's is historically connected to the French and Indian War, the Revolutionary War, and A, the Whiskey Rebellion, B, the Civil War, C, World War I, D, Snowmageddon 2010.
Again, I want it to be D so bad. I actually don't know. I'm gonna A, the Whiskey Rebellion.
Yay!
What?
You're right.
I can't believe it.
That can't be right.
Whiskey would never rebel.
No, it wouldn't. We're gonna talk about it. Now, we've talked about the Or the whiskey, the Risky Whiskey Rebellion.
Risky Whiskey.
Which is the lesser known of the two. Sure. But we've talked
Electric
about
Boogaloo.
The Whiskey Rebellion on here. Or, you know, during the segment before in general. But first, so Old St. Luke's is the oldest Episcopal church in southwestern Pennsylvania. And it was founded soon after the French and Indian War by war veteran Major William Lee, and it was on his land grant. And it was built on what had been a lookout during that war. And so what happened was you had a young captain and some British engineers, and they were sent to secure a lookout to continue to protect Fort Pitt even after the French and Indian or Seven Years' War had ended. And so they paddled down the Ohio River from the point. I like to picture them just themselves paddling, not in a boat.
Like doggy paddle.
Exactly. Down the Ohio to the outlet of Chartiers Creek at McKee's Rocks.
The Rocks of McKee's.
And for those listeners who may not know or may not remember,
Don's hometown.
That is your hometown.
Yeah.
And so on a promontory point about 6 months, or promontory, that would be redundant to say point after that, pretty sure. About 6 miles from Pittsburgh, a stockade was built at the site where this church would then be. So it has that connection, but that's what it served as before. But it's probably best known, this church is, for its role, we're talking Whiskey Rebellion, and as a Federalist meeting place during that time. Here's how it went. So church members included, I'm just going to get right into it.
Here's how it went.
Church members included General John Neville, who was the very unpopular tax collector in 1794, and that's when the Whiskey Rebellion happened. And
Is he the namesake of Neville Island?
I assume.
We shouldn't assume things.
I'm going to stop myself.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have.
We're going to research for next time.
For next time, I'm going to make a note.
Yeah.
Because I would assume
John Neville.
But perhaps there were many Nevilles.
Well, if people didn't like him that much, maybe they sent him. Like
to Neville
Island. Own island.
Yes.
Like John Neville, tax collector.
Yes.
Collect dust on this island.
Dust.
Yeah.
Dust collector.
Yes. You put John Neville away.
It could be. But yeah, and it was, and just as a tiny, tiny recap, that the Whiskey Rebellion happened after the federal government placed an excise tax on whiskey in the 1790s. And the farmers upset about this because this was a main way of making money. Now they had to pay all these taxes. They actually burned down John Neville's home because they didn't want to have to appear in court on their charges for not paying their tax. He escaped, most likely to Old St. Luke's Church, where he and many of his Federalist friends were congregants. So now you have, you know, if they're using that as a place. Okay. And President George Washington, you may be familiar, used anywhere between 12,000 and 13,000 troops to quell this insurrection. But the schism that was created in Old St. Luke's led to the first decline in that congregation because you had both Federalists and Anti-Federalists in the congregation. And so a lot of, there was really a mass exodus of many members. Then you fast forward a little bit, 1852, there was renewed interest in the church. But it hasn't, this is interesting to me, it hasn't had its own congregation since 1930. But it is still there. I know, it's like, so what does it do?
What does that mean?
Yeah. It's been beautifully restored. And it still functions as a wedding chapel. Okay. Baptisms, funerals, memorial services. So you can still have ceremonies like that there. And it also, they'll do certain services in connection with other churches who maybe need another venue, you know, for their congregation to go. So there you have it. So it is still, and it's this historic, and this historic, beautiful church right there with all that history.
The historic church with all that history.
Did I hit that one?
Tressa, are you okay?
I'm okay, Don. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're just going to go to number three.
No, your listeners love you. This is going to be great.
Number three. Forsyth Miniature Golf and Snacks has been a leading miniature golf course in Carnegie since 1982, 1942, 2002, 92 BC.
Listeners, let's wonder which letters Tressa created for the multiple choice. Definitely D on all three counts. I'm going to say A, 1982.
Okay. I think it is surprising.
How long?
1942.
No way.
Yes.
I know this golf course.
I know.
It does not look that old.
Well, they've done some work on it.
Updated.
It first opened in 1942, and its current owners, Sam and Christy, are the fourth generation of the Forsyth family to operate the business. Huh. And it was originally built on slag runways and then evolved to its current concrete runs and wooden rails.
They've 42. Had snacks since 1942.
I can't believe you said that because I'm also about to talk about one of their snacks.
Oh boy.
Because
we didn't plan it. This is just happening in real time, folks.
Because they do have snacks, but apparently, I've never had these, but they do homemade cookie ice cream sandwiches. No. Yes, and they are. You have your choice. There's four homemade cookies: chocolate chip, double chocolate chip, oatmeal without raisins. I love that they specify that. Mm-hmm. Or butter or sugar cookies. And then you have your choice of eight different flavors of Hershey's ice cream. And then each sandwich gets its own special topping. All homemade. I just love that.
Yeah.
It's a family-run business. It's for generations, yeah. And they're baking cookies and doing that.
Making and baking.
That was the original name for the course, and then they
said that's... Making bacon snacks.
Yeah. Oh, Don, this was fun.
Yeah. Two out of three ain't bad,
It's not. And if I could say, you got the first one right, which was the big...
Oh, that's my hurdle.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
Okay.
And so I thank you for this.
I thank you for this. Hey, do you want to talk about where we went tonight?
Oh, we can. Yeah. Let's do it. Because let's do that now. So we had a good time.
We did. So we went to Mindful Brewing for a benefit for one of the organizations that has been featured here on the Yinz Are Good podcast, Scent with Love.
Yay.
Listeners probably remember. They're the ones that pick up flowers from weddings and take them around and give them to... Tressa.
Any sort of, hospitals, nursing homes, retirement homes, anything. But taking those flowers because they still last for days and brightening folks' lives and just picking people up. Yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome. And Ellen, as I know Don remembers, Ellen was a guest and tried her hand at Name That Neighborhood and went a perfect 5 for 5.
She sure did.
So there's a little rivalry that happens sometimes between Ellen and Don.
But she did a great job putting together the benefit.
Oh, we had such a good time.
Yeah.
So listeners, if you haven't, if it's been a bit since you've maybe thought about them or visited their site, they're still looking for volunteers. And it's so cool. You just drive, you go pick up flowers and you drive them to a new place and get to put some smiles on people's faces. And
And who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't? So they're really, really cool. So we had a great time. Yeah.
Check out Scent with Love. And say hi to Ellen.
Oh, say hi to Ellen.
Tell them Don sent you.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be great.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we love them.
All right.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Tressa.
And on that Name That Neighborhood note, we will be bringing this episode 67, to a close. I am your host, Tressa Glover. Thank you again, Don Alexander, for the fabulous and inspiring conversation. Listeners, please do be sure to check out our show notes to see where you can find Free Store 15106 and Free Fridge 15106, as well as the other organizations that Don shared with us. And listeners, if you want to share some of your good news,
please do so. Send us an email, yinsaregood@gmail.com. I will share it on the show. I wish you a really happy and peaceful week ahead. And again, thank you for listening. Thank you for building this Yins Are Good community and for sharing with each other all the good stuff that's going on. And until next time, be safe, be kind, be good. Special thanks to Don DiGiulio, and for our fabulous artwork, Mike Rabino.